I'll have you know, I do not repeat bits. I do not go back to the well ever. Every time I make a joke, it's never been done before. I don't steal jokes. I don't repeat jokes I've told before. It's just not in my nature, Charles. I'm better than that.
Hi there, and welcome to Hav and Charles Talk Comics, Season 4, Episode 1. Hi, Hav, how are you?
I'm good, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing great. Are you excited to do our fourth season of Hav and Charles Talk Comics?
I am excited. I am pleasantly surprised and shocked because I swear earlier today I was like, this is season four. Season four doesn't seem right. That seems like too many seasons. We haven't been doing this that long. And sure, I checked. You know where I went? I went to hovandcharles.com.
Okay.
I was like, look at that. Yeah. This is season four. Son of a gun.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's awesome that we're doing a fourth season and I am excited. How about you?
I am very excited as well. I'm glad we were finally managed to get together here on March 14th because one of us finally finished reading the comic, and that one of us would be me. Hav read the comics immediately after we made our break sometime in January. I think we did the last episode. No, that's when it dropped.
No, it dropped. Just, no, it dropped in December.
No, it dropped in January.
But we recorded it in December.
I think we recorded it in December. So we were a little behind on the season finale, and we completely didn't do our bonus episode of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but we will get to that at some point.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you did over the holiday. I did read, and I poured through that son of a gun. It was good. But
I did read most of it.
That's for another day,
Today we're going to talk about, well, two comics, like we normally do, and we decided on it at the end of last season, so if you listen to that, you know we're going to be talking about Superman Red Sun and House of X, Powers of X.
Yes, and this time, for one, well, I suggested House of X, Powers of X, which came out in the year 2019.
Oh, okay.
2019, and then Red Sun came out in 2003. So, uncharacteristically, sometimes you would suggest stuff that was before the stuff I suggest, but this is one of the times where yours was published first, so we're going to go by a hold form, and we're going to talk about yours first.
That is correct. We are. We're going to talk about Superman Red Sun, which was, when did you say it was?
2003. Yes. So, okay. It's just weird, 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago, Hav. Actually, 21 years ago.
If you remember, this is
2024, because I evidently did not.
2024, which is always weird when I hear stuff like, it was more than 20 years ago. Or, that was in the 90s. I was like, that wasn't that long. Oh, that was 30-something years ago.
Right? It's just...
Because time is weird.
Time is weird.
So
time is very weird. So yeah, Superman Red Sun. I suggested it. Did you like it?
Yes.
You'd read it before though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But just, you know what? I think I only read it the once.
Okay.
And I think that might have been back when I was picking up stuff kind of regularly. I think I picked it up issue by issue.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day. Because that was in the time period where I had just started kind of reading up regularly again. And it was hard to miss, I think, a couple of the... I don't know if that's when Wizard still around the magazine back then, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe it was just something where it was kind of hyped up that it was coming out.
I could see it being hyped up kind of on the internet. If you were looking at any kind of stuff about comic books back then, I could see them talking about it because it was a neat idea. It was kind of one of the real first forays of what about we do evil Superman, except he's not really evil because he thinks he's good. Kind of thing.
Which is the best kind of
that's always
quote-unquote bad guy.
That is the only good kind of bad guy. A lot of times is they think they're doing the right thing, but because he was raised as a communist, he was not. Yeah, just to take a quick crack, just in case anybody doesn't know, the whole premise of Superman Red Sun is instead of landing in Kansas, he lands in Ukraine, right?
I think so. Yes, a Ukrainian.
Boy, don't they wish he was there now. Anyway.
Ukrainian collective.
Yes. And when he becomes of age, instead of going to the big city to be a mild-mannered reporter, he goes to Moscow to work for Stalin because he believes in the collective and taking care of people and that communism is good, and hilarity ensues, really. It's
it gets pretty dark pretty fast. And very interesting because, you know, even in this iteration, Lex Luthor's Lex Luthor.
Yes, yes.
It reminded me of when we read that one Superman, was it a two-parter? Where on the other planet, the redheaded Lex could have stopped Superman right away because he had like a certain kryptonite, but held it back because he wanted to be the one to defeat Superman. You remember that one? And the whole planet gets wiped out. You remember with Zod and the parallel universe?
No.
You don't remember that at all, do you?
I'm completely the
Supergirl thing. Remember the Supergirl comes to this Earth to recruit Superman and takes him to the alternate universe?
Oh, yeah, that's right. The thing you suggested.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. There's a pattern there. We'll get to that in a little bit. Where I was just Luthor.
Yeah, he was true to Lex Luthor, even though he wanted Superman's help. He decided not to do it because then he wouldn't have been the mastermind to. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say it was interesting. The Lex Luthor in this, he was not really a bad guy, and he really wanted to do good things, and then Superman came, and then he lost his fucking mind. Just lost it, and it was just all about this alien that he had to defeat. And you did notice there was never any kryptonite in this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I liked the way they kind of melded everybody together. I liked Lois Lane being married to
Lex,
and I really liked the fact that she talked about it. It's like it's in a different place that we were meant to be, and it feels like we should. And he kind of felt that way when they briefly interacted. It's just like, whoa, you are hot. And then later when they talk about someone thousands of years later basically wrote the love story of Superman and Lois Lane.
Yeah.
I really liked that. Let's have this whole idea of all of these stories being in a multiverse and our stories about these things and difference actually occurred somewhere, and the writer's just kind of channeling the history from that universe. I kind of like that idea in my head.
Yeah. So. How did you like the portrayal of Wonder Woman?
I question Wonder Woman being sold out for communism, because she comes from an authoritarian place where they have a queen and they do take care of everyone kind of collectively there, but everybody does have equality and everybody is taken care of. So I think she would have kind of questioned what was going on in Russia. Although, as far as I could tell, once Stalin was killed by his bastard son.
Yes, who hates Superman and is envious and all that.
Yeah, he seems to have started to fix at least not letting people starve to death. And I mean, the whole premise of this was he just kept conquering the world without attacking them. Unlike how the Russians really did it. I will invade your country and take over and then starve you to death. He offered food and hope and all of this, kind of what Superman does, but he was slowly taking over the entire world except for the United States. And it was interesting because they didn't really get deep into how they were doing that and what was going on, because they still had strife. We had the Batman in it, who was, his parents were killed in front of him by the bastard son of, who was the head of the KGB. KGB killed his parents in front of him. He ran away, lived on the street, and grew up to be the Bat. And he was trying to kill everybody. He even tried to kill Wonder Woman and Superman because he learned about the Red Sun. So he trapped him in that, and Wonder Woman had to stop it, and that aged her or hurt her badly. It was good. Everything about it was good.
No, it's only three issues. It was done really well, and there's so much. I mean, you get the Green Lantern that is found by Luthor and Roswell.
Yes.
I'm just looking at some notes. You got Luthor collecting all the Superman bad guys, not all of them, but Atomic Skull, Parasite, Doomsday to throw at Superman. And you got Superman, like you said, never wanting to just exert his physical power, power over. He just, you know, because he can make a utopia in the USSR, he can do that seemingly throughout the globe. And the USA is saying, nope, not here. We're going to do it our way.
Yeah, he waits until they're invited.
Yeah, and then he to the point where Superman, isn't this another one where Superman, I'm trying to remember now because it's been a second since I read it. Does he ever try to use force against the United States in this?
Well at the very end.
Is that where he, right.
At the very end, Brainiac tells him, you have got to use force now because the United States had kind of was destroying itself. But then Lex Luthor, there was a revolutionary, they had a civil war, of states broke off. And there was fighting in the streets. People were starving. And Brainiac was telling him, you have to go in there now. You have to. This is the time. Take it over. You can do it. And he's arguing with Brainiac because Brainiac was sent by Lex Luthor at one point. And
yes.
He reprogrammed. Superman reprogrammed him.
Or thinks and, he did. Thinks well, he did.
There you go. I was teasing. Yeah.
I don't do that.
You don't let me build anything. You're just like, nope. Yeah. Nope, he didn't really reprogram. I mean, there's going to be a... Anyway, so Lex Luthor gets elected and fixes everything. And I mean, literally fixes everything because he finally uses his brain power for all mankind instead of just beating Superman. Because the whole point of him doing that was not to save the U.S., it was to beat Superman. But he does. He saves it. Everything was doing really well. And Brainiac is convinced that he's going to beat Superman. And he's not wrong. He has ways to beat him just by using his intellect. Although Superman is smarter than he is in this.
Yes.
I mean, just he has been smarter. When Lex Luthor made, what's the name of the Superman that's the Bizarro Superman? When he made Bizarro Superman and sent him off, he actually self-destructed Bizarro Superman when his Bizarro Superman beat Lex at chess.
Yes.
I loved that. It was just, he got so upset because Bizarro Superman beat him at chess. He's like, no one.
Yes. What the heck?
Huh? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Guy.
Well, and then, oh, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
No. The whole big climax where Brainiac, sorry, and I did just spoil the crap out of that. It just was like, nope, I wasn't ever under your control. I'm going to do what I want to do. Sorry. And then, Superman seemingly dies. Right.
Well, okay. So, Brainiac is going to take over everything. Brainiac had shrunk St. Petersburg into a bottle. St. Petersburg
or Stalingrad.
I go with the current name. You are correct, and the older name. So, Stalingrad into a bottle. He was very upset about that. The whole ace card that, and Superman is at, just like he is when it was a Kryptonian city. He is incredibly upset about it and wants to change it and wants to fix it. The whole trump card that Lex was going to use to basically make him kill himself or at least go away, and it kind of worked, was you want to put the whole world in a bottle. That's what you're doing.
You literally get an ace card. It's literally
And it's you want to put the whole world in a bottle, and it's the absolute truth. He does. That's what he's doing. He's forcing everything. And there are people that are fighting him, and he is brainwashing them, literally brainwashing them to serve. But then all they can do is like clean floors and stuff, because they have all the Batman people that were with it are all like sweeping floors and yes.
Lobotomized almost.
Yeah. Computer lobotomized, because they've got like bionic heads or.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. And so he goes out and he thinks he's going to die. Everybody thinks he's going to die when he takes off and destroys Brainiac, but he survives. And then he just goes into hiding, including being around later to see Lois Lane. And she doesn't recognize him because he's dressed like Clark Kent. I mean, it's just, yes. He's completely dressed like Clark Kent in a hat and glasses, and she doesn't recognize him. So he knows he can hide. He thought for a minute she'd recognize him, and she didn't. Yeah, because yeah. I mean, you can put glasses on a table and she won't know who the table is.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, the glasses, man. Like if you take off your glasses right now, like if you did right now, like wait, where did Charles go? put Charles back on the camera. Who's this with headphones on right in front of the same microphone?
I think
it's really befuddling.
I think you've seen me without glasses almost as much as you've seen me with glasses, as much as I used to wear contacts. So.
I thought that was your twin brother.
You thought it was my twin brother that also was named Charles, because my parents are weird.
Your parents are weird. Yes. Charles and Charles. I'm not going to question anything. What else? Oh, so yeah, Stalingrad, shrunken. And yeah, the note literally reads, quote, why don't you just put the whole world in a bottle, Superman? unquote. And that, of course, just...
That did it.
Like, literally makes him crumble to the floor.
Well, and
like,
Brainiac was telling him, you need to stop this before he is going to make you kill yourself. He's going to... Brainiac was telling him, you're going to win. And then Brainiac was like, you idiot, you fell into my secret plan, and I'm still going to... You thought you could reprogram a level 10 intelligence? I love how they... Anyway, level 10.
There is a point where Brainiac attacks Superman with green radiation, which is... But it's never called kryptonite or krypton radiation, so that was... It's never... You're right. They never talk about kryptonite or anything like that.
Well, that's because kryptonite doesn't exist in this reality. In this... It can't.
I guess not.
Because krypton doesn't exist. Mr... You haven't given this away yet?
Well, we're going to get there.
Well, that's why.
Ooh. You can go ahead. Spoil away. I'm not spoiling my bit.
Okay. You don't have a bit. You don't build.
I flip to the last page of the book.
I know.
You know. You want to know who did it? I'll tell you who did it before we go into the movie.
That's why we don't go to movies together anymore.
I know. You're like, what? Huh? What do you mean Black Widow dies? Endgame.
I would have murdered you if you'd have told me that ahead of time.
Infinity War, you got all bent out of shape about Vision. I was like, okay, get over it, man. It's my bit. No, I didn't do that.
No, you didn't do that. You wouldn't do that because I would literally murder you.
You would probably be a little bit upset. I don't like that the Green Lantern, like, I don't, there's a couple different times where Green Lanterns in different of these, this is Elseworlds, by the way, this is an Elseworlds imprint, or it's under the Elseworlds DC imprint.
Yes.
Which is a very cool what if thing that
it's a different
I think
universe.
DC.
I mentioned it's a completely, it was a different universe. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just cool. It's cool for them to play in this little playground.
Yes.
But I was going to say, it feels like a lot of times, and I have no other examples off the top of my head because I did no research getting ready for this episode. No offense to you or the faithful listeners.
I never do any research.
Well, I know. But that's kind of that is one of my things where I kind of do a little of the Googling and the Googleizing and the Wikipedia-ing.
I can't read, Huff.
I know. You really do a good job compensating somehow.
I figure it out by looking at the picture. It's picture books off.
So I like how the Green Lantern Corps and how green is Green Lantern is always just so easily vanquished, dismissed, obliterated by Superman. And yet again, here, the Green Lantern Corps, they're defending the East Coast. And Superman's like, see ya.
I like how they made Guy Gardner a weak-minded little bitch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so there's that. So yeah, Superman, after the whole climax with Brainiac and seemingly dies in the explosion, but doesn't, and then Lex Luthor goes on to live for freaking ever. He
figures out how to cure pretty much all disease, make people live for 400 or 500 years. I mean,
he lives for like 1,000 years or something.
After he did it, after he defeated, and he defeated Superman in his mind. He thought because he was convinced Superman was dead, so he defeated Superman. He could then use his power to
intellect.
His intellect to help all of mankind. Which is kind of what he was doing before Superman came along. Lex Luthor was really about, I'm going to invent things. I'm going to invent things way before they should be invented because I have this kind of mind and I'm just going to use it. I'm going to be rich while I do it, but I'm going to use it. I have to keep my mind busy. I just have to, he's that guy that ideas just leak out of. Yeah. And so he makes a new world and kind of, just the world Superman was trying to make, he actually makes. So in a lot of ways, God help us, Lex Luthor is the hero of this.
Yeah. And the curing curing all diseases, but also colonizing the solar system, living like a thousand years, I think, or close to it. Yeah. It's just, it's a cool,
yes,
different,
and Superman
weird take on...
And yeah. Superman lives a long, 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 long time. The cool thing about Superman is he's actually telling this story. It's truly from his perspective because he starts talking about Lex Luthor and his ancestors and then his ancestors' ancestors. And you get to a point where his final ancestor on Earth, it's gone so long in the future that our yellow sun has turned into a red sun.
What?
Okay, settle down. And he has a child, and he goes to the council and says the earth is going to fall off its axis and fall into the sun, and no one believes him. So he shoots his son back in time, and this is one of Lex Luthor's ancestors. So Lex Luthor and Superman were related. And I liked that. I liked that little circular recursive loop. Let me rephrase that, because we're going to get into this recursive loop bullshit here in a little bit. I liked this one-off little thing that this is just a circular universe that keeps happening over and over and over again.
It's called a predestination paradox.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay, cool.
So a circular loop. I did Googleize that.
Okay, that's cool.
Circular,
predestination paradox. Okay.
It's a thing, apparently, that people way smarter than me, for sure.
I don't know if it's necessarily a thing. It's an idea that people have.
I think there's some physics involved at some level. Can be, because
physics say time travel doesn't exist, therefore that can't happen. Some physicists say it can. There's arguments. Some of them are wrong, but it's all made up hoo-ha until somebody proves it.
Dr. Herring has spoken. Everybody, shut your mouths and obey. The Vulcan scientific directorate has decided there's no such thing as time travel.
Yeah, the Vulcan. I loved that with the Vulcans and time travel, and then Star Trek has time travel all over the place.
Like, and it's like a freaking, and like there's a whole,
and there's no rules to it either. By the way, their time travel is so, everybody like, you know, the great thing about Star Trek is the scientific accuracy. Bullshit. And I like Star Trek. That is not a knock on Star Trek. It's a knock on Star Trek fans. Anyway.
So look, the circular thing, the predestination paradox, the Lex Luthor being Superman's great 1,000 times great grandfather, a million, however many.
It's kind of creepy that he wanted to fuck his great 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 whatever grandmother. When he goes back in time.
That's a good point.
I mean, that's kind of
creepy.
That's
a very good point.
Yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing they didn't. Although I get, honestly, that much separation.
I don't know. It's still kind of weird, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. But I mean, the distance between them.
But I was going to say, there is, it's almost implied, because you're right. It's Superman telling the story up until the very end. But that Superman's immortal. I mean,
seemingly immortal. I don't know if he lived all the way to the end. It's hard to tell, but yes,
right.
In a number of Superman comics, it is implied that Superman is basically immortal. And
I misremembered. I forgot. I didn't remember it being the whole time loopy predestination paradox thing. I thought it ended with the ancestor of Luther from this universe shooting a rocket ship with his baby, you know, him and his wife, letting their baby escape a dying planet, and it landing on Earth in Kansas. That was the way I remembered it for some reason. I didn't remember it as being the loop-de-loop predestination
thing. I don't know necessarily if it was a loop-de-loop. I think they left it up in the air on where it landed.
But it did land in Ukraine. Well, I mean, in another collective, I thought.
It's been weeks since I went back to reading.
That was a big takeaway for me, that it ended with, if for some reason in my head, I remembered it that at the end of this, Jor-El sends Kal-El, his son, in the rocket ship, and it lands in Kansas. But no, this definitely ended with USSR, Ukraine, collective 1930s. And again, starting the loop again, on a different planet though somehow.
Oh yeah, there it is. The Ukraine Russia 1938. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. So I think I read it about 20 years ago, and for some reason in my head, and I don't know if it was me thinking at the time, I thought that would have been a cooler ending for some reason, or I didn't like the time loop aspect of it, or what. Oh, and then another. Okay, we haven't even talked about this. The creatives and the big creative on this that has now. I mean, when he did this, he was a thing, because I think he had done maybe Ultimates at the time, but it's Mark Millar. And the pencilers, I didn't, full disclosure, it's been so long since I read it. It's been returned to the Hoopla Public Library forever. I try to recheck it out. Have you ever had this happen where you try to check something out and on Hoopla it says the collective daily borrow limit set by your library has been reached?
Yes.
And will reset at midnight. Yes. I've never had that happen
before. Yeah, I've had that happen a couple of times. And there's also a collective monthly limit.
Really?
Yeah, they send an email. They send an email. earlier at the end of last month to say, hey, Hoopla's, you can't borrow anything from Hoopla right now. We'll let you know when you can. And, well, it was the next month.
You know why that is, right?
Why?
Because we've been plugging Hoopla here on the podcast so much, people are starting to freaking use it finally.
Sure.
You're welcome. Sure. You're welcome, yeah, Dallas Public Library.
Yeah, that's probably what that is. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to, again, pat myself on the back.
Okay.
It's hard work, baby. It's hard work being this powerful.
I'm just glad people are using the library, the public library. It's free, yo.
Yes! Boom, shalakalaka. What? Oh, Mark Millar. There were a lot of pencilers on this. I didn't realize. I got four here, according to my crack, I'm going to say crackpot, Wikipedia research. Dave Johnson, Andrew Robinson, Walden Wong, and Killian Plunkett.
Okay.
And I don't know any of them off the top of my head. That doesn't mean it wasn't pretty darn good, by the way.
Oh, no, it was really incredible. I loved the art.
It was very well done, especially the iconoclastic, I think, is a little different.
Yes.
The Soviet era propaganda stuff was just so kind of eerie.
And so well done.
So well done. Because, hey, being men of a certain age, I very much, you know, we've talked about this before on different podcasts about 70s. I mean, both of us firmly grown up in the 80s. The Soviet Union, the Big Red Scare, Cold War. And then growing up, reading about the 50s, 60s, you know, for sure, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the art was so distinctive and their architecture was so distinctive and different and stark compared to a lot of stuff in the West. It was really cool to see on the page and very well done.
It really was. They did an amazing job drawing this as if Russia had invented Superman and was using it as a propaganda thing against the U.S. I mean, the covers with the really square jawed and everything. I was just looking at one of the first cover, and it's an amazing piece of Soviet artwork done by an American comic book drawer.
Now, Mark Millar is an interesting person. I was going to say character, but he's a real person. He now has gotten crossways with Grant Morrison. I don't know if you keep up with the tabloids.
Yeah, the two
book.
Of them do not like each other.
They used to be really good friends because I think they're both Scottish.
Yes. Well, you mean Scottish people can start anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, think about how much Moira MacTaggert changed over and over again.
There was a, I think somebody on Twitter, or it was publicized on Twitter, that somebody asked Morrison if they'd seen Millar recently.
Do you ever run into Millar? And he said, I'd like to with my car. If I saw him, I'd run into him with my car.
Yes. Going fast.
Yeah, well.
Or something like that. Yeah, it was like, oh, Jesus Christ, okay. Well, because also Grant Morrison has gone on record in, I think, plural interviews. Look, nobody's saying that the idea of Millar, it was Millar's idea about the what if Superman landed, you know, as a baby in USSR. But Grant Morrison, and I don't think Millar has disputed this, the whole time loopy thing at the end, Morrison's contribution.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of cool. It doesn't take away from everything.
Well, yeah, it's a nice addition. I like the addition. But that doesn't, if everything
no,
else
it's not
is
minimizing,
his, yeah.
I'm not minimizing
no,
Millar's.
No, I didn't think you were. And I love Grant Morrison, so I got no dog in this hunt.
I think it's worth, if we're talking about it, I think it's worth pointing out.
Okay.
It reminded me of, again, not taking anything away from the great George Lucas, but I watched on like Vice, I think they have those icons where they do a deep dive on, like they did a deep dive on the prequels and the original trilogy. And two things I took from that, his wife at the time when the original trilogy was done was instrumental in the editing.
Yeah.
And giving it heart and pacing.
Yes.
Then the second thing was De Palma saw it and apparently has never been disputed that he's told George he needed to do a scrawl at the beginning to kind of give everybody lay of the land.
Well,
again, not taking anything. It was kind of cool.
But when it first came out, it didn't have, I mean, literally when it came out, from what I understand, it didn't have the crawl.
Oh, I see. I didn't know
like
that.
What I
thought it
I
did.
Swear
I thought the,
I read somewhere
I thought the screenings.
When, well, maybe that
I thought
was
like
it.
The screenings for Friends, maybe. Like when they first saw it, finished product, and then De Palma was like, tack this on at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so
no one person comes up with everything. You don't create something in a vacuum. Well, unless you have like a really big vacuum that you crawl inside of, which is weird because you have like a dust fetish or something, but we won't get into that. I don't.
Yeah.
And see, I went a different way with vacuum. I meant like a vacuum. See, Hav, what I did there is when people think of a vacuum, sometimes they think of what you use a household appliance for. All right.
What?
Anywho. So, no, that is interesting. So, what you're saying is sometimes artists get ideas from other artists.
Yes. Okay. I mean, my mom used to talk about the Skrull being like the beginning of the Zorro movies, and even Spielberg, even Lucas has said all the X-Men TIE fighter fight scenes is the World War II flying combat scenes that just put into space.
The crawls were at the beginning of the trailers. That were the beginning of the serials he watched as kids.
Like
Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers. So, mm-hmm. which are the two of the big things that they took from that he took from that and Dune. Because everybody right now, everybody's like, yeah, this is what Star Wars should have been. It's been Dune. I've never watched a Dune movie, so I can't say anything. I did try to read the book when I was a kid, and that was the most incomprehensible tome I've ever put my hands on. I keep trying to get it from the fucking library. But this Dune love is so much. Every time I look at the list, it's like 50 people on one copy. I'm like, okay, so the library knows not to buy any more copies of this fucking thing. But all these people are waiting for
it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Dune's fine.
Oh, no. I've been online recently. They're talking about how it's better than Star Wars.
Yeah, well, look, it's one of those, it depends where you're at in your life when it comes out. Like there are, you know, I think we've talked about this here maybe, or just when we've been having a beer. There are people that are grown up that grew up on the new trilogy, mm-hmm. episodes 1, 2, and 3 that they adore and love them and think they are better than the original trilogy.
And I'm actually fine with them thinking that.
So look, it's just, you know, now there's these folks that these kiddos that are or people, you know, or adults or young adults or whatever. Ooh, Dune. And I'm like, you know what? You go watch the David Lynch version and you tell me that isn't 10 times better. I can't even do it with a straight face. That's a fun watch, by the way. Have you watched? You've never seen that movie either? I've
never seen a Dune movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Kyle MacLachlan, Sting.
I am aware of it. I've never seen it. You can keep asking me questions about it. I haven't seen it.
There are the things called moving pictures, Charles. Okay.
When a movie comes out on a book I thought wasn't very good, I don't tend to want to go watch it.
Did you ever read Lord of the Rings stuff or The Hobbit?
I read The Hobbit. I've read the first book. Is it The Fellowship of the Rings is the first mm-hmm. book? I loved The Hobbit in elementary school when I read it.
I've read that.
Okay.
But have you ever gotten through the whole Lord of the Rings?
I read the first book, and I got halfway through the second book when I was, I think, still elementary school, maybe beginning of junior high. I got halfway through the Two Towers. When the movies started coming out, I decided I was like, okay, well, I'm older now. I'll see if I can get through it. I read The Fellowship of the Ring. I got halfway through the Two Towers. I was like, fuck this. This isn't worth it. This is god awful. Funny thing is, the better of the three movies, and none of them were that great, was The Two Towers.
A hot sports opinion for you right there, everybody.
They're not that good. I'm sorry.
Peter Jackson can suck it.
Source material is not that great.
Hey, look, I was going to say, because the reason I asked, speaking of Dune, I've tried I can count on less than one hand how many times I've tried to read The Lord of the Rings. It's been on my bookshelf for decades.
Don't bother.
And I've tried a couple times, but I didn't even make it through the first book. I mean, I maybe a few chapters, and I'm like, I got no desire to keep on reading.
The first book wasn't bad, but man, the second book was just an incomprehensible... It's been almost 20 years since I've tried to read it. So, and I will not go back to it. I just won't. I've only ever seen the movies one time each, and I haven't watched The Hobbit, which I liked The Hobbit. So I should probably watch the movie, but I didn't think it needed two movies.
They made three movies
out of The Hobbit.
They stretched The Hobbit, which is about this thick of a book, into three. I think I'm not making that up. I watched the first one.
See,
I didn't watch the second one.
I watched my Hobbit movie, damn it.
The animated one?
Yep.
Yep.
That's freaking awesome. And that's my Lord of the Rings, too.
Yes, that
Frodo
yes.
of the Nine yes. Fingers.
That is, yes,
and the Ring
man.
Of Doom.
No, you're look, and I know Ryan is going to hear this podcast, and I know he's a fan of the movies.
Suck it,
and
Ryan.
So,
that's
Ryan,
what Hav is trying to say. That's not what I'm saying.
I apologize on behalf of Charles.
Hav is trying to say, suck it. Everything you love is wrong. And I don't agree with that. I think you have taste and charm and wit, but now you know what Hav truly feels about you.
After, you know what? In fact, me and I, you know what? I like the movies. I did enjoy the movies.
I did not. Okay. I'm being a little harsh on the movies. I enjoyed each one when I watched it. I did like the Two Towers. I found it amusing that I liked the Two Towers more. I will say it was just so much violence, which is weird because I don't mind that. But I mean, it's just like, okay, we get it.
I think it was CGI and getting to play with the CGI too. Look, I did enjoy the movies. I think it was Two Towers, the King one at the end, and then the Fellowship of the Rings. That's my order of ranking from good to not.
I would have enjoyed the third movie a lot better if it didn't have 75 endings.
I was going to say, that's when I think even Ryan would agree. I was like getting out of my seat and then like, nope, sitting down again.
I had to pee so bad. I cannot tell you how bad I had to pee. I thought I was going to wet myself, and I did not care for that. It was unfair to those of us that actually, I was going to say, I don't have a small bladder. I'm not you. I don't get up in the movie and go to the bathroom. That's right.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah, I do.
5 minutes in. Excuse me.
Pardon me. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. Sorry about your foot. No, I know me and Ryan, I just moved up to Dallas for the job, for my job in late 2000. Or 2000, I forget. It was right before I think either we both were, or I was going back to San Antonio for the holiday, but Lord of the Rings came out around, the Fellowship of the Ring came out around Christmas time, and me and Ryan went to go see it at I don't even know if it's still there, north of 635 on Central. I just remember that. And I remember being pleasantly surprised and liking it more than I thought I was going to like it. Because I'm not really big into the fantasy stuff and the wizards, unless they're space wizards with space swords kind of thing. At least generally, I don't know. I did enjoy. Anyway, that's a weird tangent that we got on from talking about Red Sun.
Yeah, it's weird to talk about other imaginary things when you were talking about one imaginary thing.
Exactly.
Now, look, after saying what I said about him, he did invent a genre, except he didn't invent a genre because he didn't invent fantasy. Fantasy's been around since the beginning of literature. Gilgamesh was fantasy. He did not invent. He invented a walking in the fucking woods together and just take the fucking giant eagles and drop the fucking ring. Anyway, sorry.
But it's me, Ryan, who was bagging on it, not Charles. No,
you're bagging on Ryan's taste. I'm saying
no. I'm not. I'm not bagging on Ryan. I'm agreeing. Oh my god. Jeez Louise.
You're just personally attacking Ryan. I'm just saying my opinion.
That's exactly and what
Ryan,
I'm doing.
Ryan respects people. I respect his opinion. There's literally nothing wrong with liking those movies. Or
I know.
There's nothing wrong with liking those books. You're wrong to like those books, but there's nothing wrong with that.
He
did invent the American genre of fantasy books. He didn't invent it, but Tor invented it. Good. Never mind. Anywho.
Was there
Del Rey, not Tor, sorry. Well, Tor. Hold on. Anyway, I digress. We've digressed. We should dress back up.
No, there was a... de-dressed. I was going to say, wasn't there a DC animated movie or no?
A DC animated movie.
About Red Sun, or was there not?
There may have been. I don't remember.
I thought there was, but I can't remember.
I think there was.
But and for some reason, I think I saw it, but gosh darn it, I don't remember.
I may have
damn
watched
thing
about
it,
but the comic book is great.
It is good. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just thought it was great.
It was only three issues.
They were very long issues.
They were long issues, but I don't feel like it. I think it's one of those where it didn't need to be any longer. It did not need to be any shorter.
No.
I think it was very well constructed. Yes. I don't think they tried to stretch it out or make it too short, which I feel like sometimes we can tell when they're like, hey, you only got three issues to do this. And they cram it too much in. Or they say, hey, this is a really good idea. I know you only wanted it to be three issues, but it's going to be 12.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God.
No, it was a very well-rounded, everything about it worked together. They skipped over some stuff. They could have gone longer. There were places that they could have fleshed out because we didn't really do the whole Brainiac thing. And we didn't but it was fine because it's kind of jumping around the way a lot of these Elseworld things do. They're trying to show a large period of time. It's not, because it was the Elseworld imprint, it's more the way they do those instead of the way they do something within the regular thing where they go, okay, now we have to have 75 comics. Well, I'm like, seven will do. It's like, come on.
Yes. I was going to say, yeah, I kind of wanted more, but you're right. They would have gone way too far. And it would have been Red Sun, Batman, Red Sun, Detective Comics, Red Sun, Wonder Woman, Red Sun, you know, yes. freaking Doom Patrol.
Exactly. Exactly.
Every
I would absolutely love to see Red Sun, Doom Patrol, though.
That would be good. I have not watched the last season.
I have not either.
I've been a bad live-action animated comic book fan here recently. I have not seen Blue Beetle. I have not seen Shazam latest movie.
I enjoyed Blue Beetle.
Oh, good. Good to know.
Not as good.
Okay.
Did not really care for that. You know what was good? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to see that.
I watched it on the plane on the way to Hawaii and I laughed my butt off.
Nice.
I mean, literally. I was like, oh, I'm never going to see this or whatever. So I also watched the Blue Beetle on that, the same flight. And
nice.
But that one, I was just like, okay, this is darn good. I quite enjoyed this. I liked it so much, laughed so much that Cindy watched it too after.
Oh, cool.
Because she's like,
oh my God, Charles is busting a gut here. What the heck?
She didn't like it as much as I did. She said, I see why you liked it as much. It's just like, it was right up your... Well, no, you know how that is. Everybody has... She liked it, but it wasn't like, okay.
Now, speaking of... Okay, anything else about Red Sun before we kind of segue?
No. We can segue.
I was going to say, the other movie I really enjoyed, The Marvels. Is it The Marvels or just Marvels?
Yes, the Marvels.
I really, enjoyed it.
The Marvels was amazing and I loved it. And... the nastiness about it again because it's women, and then they're like, yeah, it didn't do well because it's women. It didn't do well because it was the middle of a writer's strike and those delightful ladies didn't go out and push the press the way they always would. If those three had been out for a month and a half before it came out, that thing would have had a much bigger box office. I don't know if it would have. I think it would have had still had blowback from this. I don't know what it is about
the weird
anti-woman comic book guy, but I think enough people would have seen it that the fact that it was this good would have word of mouthed it up to much bigger than what it was. Because I went and saw it, and Cindy and I went, and we were just like, oh my God, this movie's awesome. It really was. It was an awesome movie. And the
ending was awesome?
Yes. And the whole arc that Carol Danvers has in it, that you see the repercussions of her decisions, you see how tough everything that she'd been through is, and then while she was doing all of that stuff, then the blip happened, and I mean, it explains the haircut. It was excellent.
I've read some headlines and bylines that it's doing gangbusters on Disney Plus. Like,
yeah,
it is. Well, no, it's being watched ad nauseum.
It's because it's a good movie, and once people have access to a good movie, they're gonna they guns to watch it. Come on, Hob, they guns to watch it.
Well, they are.
All right.
And not just because I'm going to spoil it. If you haven't seen it yet, that's on you. Let's just say somebody that used to frequent the bar in Cheers makes a huge appearance at the end.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. It took me a minute, but don't worry about that. So,
okay.
Something will make you happy. On our hiatus.
Don't say it. Say it. No, don't say it. Say it. Go ahead. I'm ready. I'm holding on to the arms of my chair. Go ahead.
We had mail.
Gosh darn it. Yeah, we did.
We had mail.
Yeah, we did.
It was from Andrew Ford.
Oh my God. Fuck.
It was just one line, and I'm assuming this is directed to you. You were wrong about equine therapy.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. I think I dared him to send that.
Oh, really?
Like, I dare you. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't know.
Okay, because I replied back and asked him if he wanted to give more, and he didn't reply to that, so.
Yeah, no. I forget the content. It's been so long since I think I told him about that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that Andrew listens. You know what? Not that he needs to, but I don't know if he listens.
Oh, yeah. It was January 14th when he sent it, so.
Yeah. I forget what the context was of why he sent that I was.
You're just trying to get
but
somebody.
Maybe he did listen.
I don't know.
Maybe he did listen.
Maybe.
He might listen.
I don't know.
Now he's going to be pissed. Like, you know I listen. I was like, I don't.
I don't
it's
know
not like when
things.
I talk to my friends, I'm like, hey, did you listen? Hey, did you listen?
Really? That's all I ask them.
Yeah.
Of course, you're the only friend I have, so I kind of know you listen.
Oh. Okay, everybody. Now, everybody, you all need to send Charles an email and say, hey, buddy.
Hey.
I'm your friend.
I get plenty of emails from all sorts of store lists that I'm on, and I send them. Oh. I hit that unsubscribe button over and over and over again.
And then you get emails about people wanting you to maybe have a chance to have dinner with Joe Biden and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama.
No, I've unsubscribed from all political emails. Yes.
That's an uphill battle, my friend, but good for you.
No, I've gotten, I swear, I've managed to get me all, well, you know, when I volunteered for What's Her Name's campaign,
yeah, that's how invested you were in that campaign.
It's been 8-9 years.
Joanna Katternack.
Thank you. She was, I quite liked her. I volunteered, yes, for a campaign. I did some calls, but that put my phone number out there. So all of a sudden, they handed my name around like I was a party boy. Anyway, passed me around. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Man, I will say the nice thing about that is I explained to all the elderly people when I'm signing them up, for something that I'm putting their, they're going to send me an email. I was like, yes. And then you scroll down to the bottom and you unsubscribe. And they will unsubscribe because it's a major corporation who will get in a lot of trouble if they don't unsubscribe you. Well, I just get all these emails. Yes. And you should go to the bottom of it. This is my public service announcement. Go to the bottom of the fucking email and say unsubscribe. If you get a text from a campaign, you say stop. And they stop.
Yeah, they do.
Because they have to. It's the law.
Then they just get somebody else from a different organization. I swear.
I understand. Speaking of Andrew, I've got them all turned off. They don't send me stuff anymore.
I think I've mentioned it here before. If I haven't, I don't think it's. Well, it's. I'm a public officer. I at least I am for a little while longer. I'm a precinct chair for the Dallas County Democratic Party for our little.
Oh, still
nook and cranny precinct.
Okay.
And I have been for a while.
Yeah, I didn't know you were still doing that.
Julie's going to take over here.
Okay.
And June.
Well, that's good. Somebody competent really should do the job.
Oh, right. Just a right hook, right, unsolicited, uncalled for. Just going to absorb that one and keep on rolling because I'm a professional.
Body blow.
Uppercut. Down for the count. I would get, because my name and number and email address are on the Dallas County Democratic Party website as a precinct chair for now precinct 2148 or something. It used to be 1070. For some reason, they changed our precinct numbers, which really threw me for a loop. I was getting all sorts of, you know, from Democrats, but then speaking of Andrew and one of the Austin dudes, somewhere, I want to say it was 2016 or 2020. And no, it wasn't 2016. It must have been 2020 or 2022 for sure. All of a sudden, I start getting GOP stuff, man. I swear one of the fuckers, and it's mostly text, I swear somebody is like, hey, let's do this. Let's sign up for some texts, and it's rather glorious to get a Trump text or a Nikki Haley or a Mitch McConnell asking me for money. So that's fun. So thank you, whoever did that, Andrew, I think, maybe. I don't know. I would guess Andrew. Nobody's really getting hurt, I guess.
Okay.
It does remind me, I'm sorry, now I'm on a tangent. Stop me whenever you want. In college, one of my college room, I was living at the time with Rob and Andy, and I get bored like you do, and I'd be up late, and I don't remember, there would be all those workout things late at night, like after midnight, where there'd be infomercials and you could get a free VHS tape with like a workout thing. And let's just say Rob, my roommate, and for mattresses too, he got a lot of VHS tapes that semester or two. And he didn't know why. He's like, why am I getting these? And I just have to leave the room.
Okay. That's funny.
Okay. I'm done.
All right. So,
Any other emails?
No more emails. We did actually read another comic book. This comic book took me way too long to read. If we did not have a podcast, I would never have finished this thing. And that's not saying it's bad. It's just incomprehensible.
You don't like anything I suggest. Let's just put that out there.
That is not true in any way whatsoever. You have suggested a number of things that I've enjoyed immensely. I don't like when you suggest something that has no story behind it, has recursive loops, and is just a history of an imaginary place poorly written.
It's mainstream continuity.
This is the new X-Men
corner of the Marvel Universe.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, but the circle jerk they went around to get to it is just the most insane thing I've ever read in my life.
There's a lot. Look, in this, you know, when I suggested it, I didn't realize that it was the two combined and it's 12 issues. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really cool, and there is some what if kind of thing. kind of aspect to it, but it is kind of what I think of as by the way, we should say it is House of X and Powers of X, which was two different limited series that ping-ponged back and forth between each other that came out in 2019. And it really was a hard, I don't know about hard, it was a soft reboot of the X corner of the Marvel Universe, in which I feel Jonathan Hickman was a writer, took it to the umpteenth degree of, look, all these X-Men have all these fantastical, amazing powers. What if they took advantage of those powers and set up their own corner of the literal Earth on, for example, Krakoa, or however you say that island, which I've never heard out loud, I don't think, or if we have, I always mispronounce it, the Living Island, that's also a mutant, and make themselves a nation state. And all mutants in the world are citizens of that nation state. And what kind of power could they actually wield in a geopolitical sense?
Yes.
As their own sovereign nation and people. And I think it's a really grandiose, cool idea.
I think all of that is great. I like the idea. I think it took 12 issues to get to that. And they rebooted the universe 6 times to do it. Because now Moira MacTaggert is a mutant who lives a life. When she dies, she starts over and remembers everything from her first life. So she keeps repeating and keeps doing different things.
Is that Memento? Or is that, which movie is that?
I have no idea. I've never seen Memento.
Me neither. Okay.
Okay.
I just saw a reference to that in something I read about it on the Wikipedia.
Okay.
You're right. She's a mutant in this. Yeah, yes. That's a big change.
I didn't have a problem with that change. The ones I enjoyed were kind of the first ones when they were explaining that and they were living her little lives. I just felt like it was not a linear story in any way whatsoever.
No.
It made no sense. A lot of the time they would jump to this stuff and then they would jump back. And then you didn't know which life are we in, which iteration are we in, what just happened here. It was just, legitimately, it was so fucking long. I mean, it was 391 pages or something like that.
It is 12 issues combined,
yes.
And it is long issues, I feel like. And there's a lot of ancillary, non-comic booky picture stuff that is just prose.
Actually, the prose I liked, because a lot of that prose actually explains some of the crap
exactly.
That was
good. I did too. I see, this is fine. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a huge leap forward. They had done, well, let me also back up. You have Charles Xavier in a black leotard or full body jump, you know, skin tight onesie.
Yeah, I thought he was the Maker.
Walking around with a mobile Cerebro unit on his head.
Yes.
Which is just a really iconic look and different than any Charles Xavier you've ever seen, which I, for some reason to me, when it came out, made me pick it up. And I was like, what is going on here?
Okay.
This is crazy time.
So, and I literally finished reading it today. So the whole thing about that they bring every mutant back to life, so they just get to live forever and ever and ever. And one of the rules of Krakoa is that they keep breeding more mutants so they can take over. They can take their rightful place over a human. What, are they going to fucking just start farming humans? Oh, no, we have the power, but you don't get to live forever. We get to live forever, and we're going to win out because we live forever. Except they don't, because we also learn that they always fucking lose. They always fucking lose. Well, we know that. We've read the fucking X-Men. I mean, that's the whole point of...
But hey, this time they lose in a more magnificent way than ever. Yeah, that's true.
I loved the end of the 6th one when they're talking to... Was that like a computerized version of Charles Xavier at the end of that one where...
I don't even remember.
He's talking
to... Oh, how'd you do that? Did you do balloons on purpose?
No, I
didn't. How'd you do that?
I don't know what the fuck just happened.
Everybody, just we're on FaceTime when we do the podcast, and balloons just happened, and I like balloons, apparently. I'm a 4-year-old. I was like, oh, balloons.
On my screen, balloons just went up my screen, and I have no...
Me too. I didn't touch my iPhone, I swear.
No, I didn't. I was looking at my iPad to see if somebody sent me like a hat, because it's like what happens when you text somebody happy birthday, the balloons. That was that.
Just happened. technology.
That was weird. Okay.
No, so, I don't remember. I don't remember that you're talking about the master mold that was orbiting the sun. I'm looking at a synopsis.
No,
what are you talking about?
I am talking about at the end of probably at the end of the, like the very end, near the end, where it's this, something is just talking, and he's talking to Wolverine. But I don't know if that's Charles Xavier, who had become a kind of a robotic, a machine version of himself, because it seemed kind of like him. He's the librarian, and they're keeping the mutants alive. And then Moira comes up, and it's Wolverine and Moira, and they're talking. And then he says, we're about to be, because they're doing all of this just ridiculous crap about how you're going to be, they'll be absorbed into a one mind, and then that mind will go into a black hole, which is a hive mind, which is, I mean, they listed all these things. And I mean,
there's a lot there.
But he said, but we know what you are, Moira, and I don't know if we want to make sure that the idea was he didn't know whether he should, if he killed her now, she could start all over. And if he didn't, that if they sent her off where she was going to live, then that would be stuck. And then they could have their massive, wonderful being absorbed by the whatever those dumb shit. No, it's not. It's poorly thought out, but not dumb. So
you really had, I think, okay, tell me if I'm reading.
But then Wolverine kills him. And then Wolverine kills him so he could send Moira back, and then he kills Moira so they could start over. And that's the last iteration. That's the last iteration, because then she meets Charles Xavier again and does all the thing, and they rapidly go through it one last time until there's right there at the end where they're standing there, and that's when I guess we're back into the new, this is what the X-Men are now from this step. Krakoa is here, they're all working together, and Moira is stepping out of the shadows, but she's in the shadows, and they're gonna have a precog, but you can't have a precog because they'll know about it's the X-Men.
I know, but yes, it's a rehash. I think it's look, a lot of this stuff, you're not going to reinvent the wheel. It's the X-Men. They've done it before.
Yes.
But was the non-linear part of it, or the loop-de-loop, was that a hang-up for you?
It drove me crazy. Yes, it drove me crazy.
I'm picking up on that. And I think...
And it went so far into the future every time.
Yes, they have different eras or epochs, or I forget what they call it.
And it jumped, and then it jumped back, and you didn't know what... It was just disjointed, and to me, it just... I did not ever really get into it. I got into parts of it because Hickman is a really good writer.
Yes.
He is a really good writer, but I did not care for this because I
agree that it was a hard read, but it was a great read to the point where when I got done with it, albeit around the holidays, I thought to myself, and I meant to, but I just haven't had time. I actually have been a little busy with work and stuff, but now that it's an excuse, I should have. I thought, you know what, this is something that deserves a reread. It was that good. I enjoy it. Now, I've heard, and I did not keep up after this. They've gone on with this.
I will never read that again.
Well, guess what I'm suggesting for next time? We got to continue this bit. No. Gosh darn it. Why did I do that to myself and to you? I'm not suggesting that they've gone on. Hickman stayed on, and I think he left for a little bit, and maybe he's coming back to kind of wrap it up.
But now he could write stuff that's just going on, because that, as you said, this is a whole reboot, a soft reboot. It's not even a soft reboot, dude. He rebooted it 6 times.
Or yes, try to show how they're trying to make the mutants win or whatever. Yeah. It was a company-wide relaunch. They had ongoing X-Comics and different... I mean, there was apparently Uncanny... I didn't read any of this stuff. Uncanny X-Men, Mr. and Mrs. X, X-Force, X-23, Age of X-Men, Age of X-Man.
X-23 is awesome.
That were all eventually canceled.
X-23 is always awesome.
Yes.
Love her. The real Wolverine.
So, yeah. You get to see the humans kind of take in... Like everybody, S.H.I.E.L.D., AIM, Hydra, Alpha Flight, all kind of joining forces as Homo sapiens battling the mutants, which I think was an interesting take. Yeah, I don't either. Like I said, when I got done with it, I was thinking, ooh, that was a lot to take in. It was dense, and I thought, ooh, I'm gonna have to eventually reread this. And I swear to freaking God, I meant to reread it before we sat down to do this podcast, and of course I didn't. So I'm not remembering
because you didn't have 6 weeks.
A lot of it. It's not something you read in an afternoon on a Sunday. It did take me over the extended holiday. Like I would read it in chunks, like an hour or two, put it down. But because I actually wanted to pay attention. Like,
see, my problem
the pros
is
at the end.
I couldn't sit and read it for an hour. I could not.
Well, then
I'd read 20 pages and I'd be like, okay, I got to stop.
Because it was too much for your little brain.
Yeah, sure, we'll do that. Yeah, that
no,
was
what I was
going
to say. I was joking. What I was going to say is I had
fine.
My...
Yeah, maybe I'm just not... Maybe just intellectually, I can't understand...
Shut up.
...the brilliance of this comic book, or The Lord of the Rings, or Dune, or maybe I am dumb.
No, you just have your own taste. Look, it's okay. Opinions are just that, opinions.
Yeah.
Everybody's got them. So and there's a saying and all that. But yeah. I was going to say, what I did is I put up a pegboard with thumbtacks and then yarn. Julie was upset because it did take up like the whole wall in the living room.
Yeah, no shit. This is making me realize when I first started reading this, I was going to make that joke about this.
The Charlie Day.
You need to, well, it's not, okay.
They did that,
but they've done that. That's not the first place that came from. Uh-huh. Yes. It's been a crazy person thing forever.
No, because I was just thinking, and I ran out of colors of yarn. I went to Yarn Barn and I was like,
this
look.
This is it.
And you're like, what do you mean you only have 73 different colors of yarn?
So you learned to dye and then you made your own colors yarn. Yes. I just have white and now I'm going to make some dye and I'm going to make this color.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. That is
Cheryl, he's an Amish wife. He's
Cheryl
he's
at the Yarn Barn. If you're listening, this is a shout out to you for helping me put together my crazy board for Powers of X and House of X. I really appreciate it, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl at the Yarn Barn. Cheryl at the Yarn Barn. Yarn's not free. Yarn's not free, yo. No, I'm well aware that yarn.
Especially when
is
you
not
have
free.
To dye your own special colors. I make myself laugh sometimes. Sorry. Oh, I don't know. Look, I think we give a. I mean, there is a shit ton of stuff in this that I'm not. I mean, you could spend half an hour on each issue.
Yeah,
I
would not be willing to do that. I would.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I think I'm kind of done. I mean, I think if you're an X-Men fan,
you're already done with this. You're like, I don't want to hear Charles talk shit about this anymore.
If you're an X-Men fan and you want to see a completely, I don't know if it's completely, but a new take on the trope that's been done over and over again, where it's the humans versus the mutants and the mutants, but the mutants this time are stepping up to the plate saying, nope, we're going to take over because we're going to apparently lose every time again.
Yeah.
It's a different take. It's Hickman doing it. So well done.
I like the idea. I do like the idea, except one of the things I didn't like about it, just thinking about it now, because now I'm really thinking about this. Lots of it was good. It was well written for what it was. But again, the disjointed part of it just drove me nuts. So I can't get into it to read it. And also Moira's horse shit about, well, I'm going to have to break Charles and make him something he's not, but I know he'll never go against his ring. And at some point he might read my mind again without telling me, but he never does that. Bullshit. Charles Xavier is the biggest hypocrite in the Marvel goddamn universe. Charles Xavier always breaks into some people's heads. He always makes them do something.
He had a thing for a teenage Jean Grey, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Well,
Charles Xavier is a huge, you're absolutely right. Charles Xavier
hypocrite.
Can suck it.
Yeah, at least Magneto's not a hypocrite. He's just a bad guy. I mean, and legitimately, he's a bad guy. He's
not a good person.
Yeah, he's a bad person.
And his spouses are upfront about it.
Yeah, and I know he's been through a lot in his life, and I get that, but it doesn't give you an excuse to be a bad person. And I understand him wanting to protect people and not have a Holocaust. I'm all on board with let's not exterminate mutants. But come on now. You can't be what you're fighting against if you're fighting against it.
I'm not even going to get into. Okay.
Yeah. This idea that these two, if they just work together, they're going to. Well, they're not, because neither one of them's evil and one's a giant hypocrite. So.
I always thought.
Which makes good story. You have to have flaws. It makes good story. But.
No, well, now you're making me think of the Magneto thing about never again. I'm never going to have what happened to my Jewish people is never going to happen to my mutant people.
Yes.
But to do that, I'm willing to do that to other people.
Exactly. And don't go any further.
Okay. I'm just going to leave it at that. Because I don't even want to step into that quagmire. But yes, comic books can talk about a lot of stuff.
No, comic books can. Comic books can definitely talk about a lot of stuff.
And makes you think and talk about stuff like that.
Yes. Yes.
I will tell this. Okay, now jumping back to Charles Xavier. I remember as a kiddo when I got into the comics, elementary school, the X-Men comics heavy, and I remember thinking, why doesn't Charles Xavier just go to Vegas or gamble? And, well, maybe that's how he made his money. They never talk. Well, he comes from family money.
No, he's family money. He rich.
But he could go wherever and just play the stock market or play the
well, he could go play
as a whale.
He could just go play poker.
Poker, craps. I mean, not craps. He could play blackjack.
Actually, he's he has telekinesis. He could play craps.
No, he's not telekinesis.
He doesn't have telekinesis?
No, he's just... Okay. No, that's Jean Grey.
Jean Grey has... Oh, that's right. She's uber overpowered.
Yes. Well, a lot of them are.
Yes.
What else on this? I did like the fact that they're using... And one other note that I had is that, for once, the mutant island of Krakoa being a sentient mutant being, mm-hmm. ancient as Apocalypse...
I didn't understand how it was a mutant, but yes. It's a living thing. Know. Yeah, I know. I know, but and it's a mutant. I don't know that it's a... It's just... It's a different type of life. It doesn't make it a mutant.
It's sentient.
It's a sentient island. Yes, but that doesn't make it a mutant.
I don't know. Because it's an island.
I know. No, they're calling it a mutant so they can claim it, but they can't claim it because then they made laws. You can't own land, but you want to own land, and you can't kill humans. You can't kill a mutant, but you can kill a mutant because a mutant can't die. That is the other. It's like, wait. So you're going to punish humans for killing a mutant when you're just bringing that fucking mutant back, and then that mutant's going to go kill the human. It's just... Anyway, there's some circular crap again with this. We can bring everybody back to life takes some skin out of that game. I guess they're just saying, look, we're going to bring the fucking mutants back anyway. So now we just show you how we're doing it. We won't have to, how did Wolverine come back? Or how did Jean Grey come back? Well, they developed a husk. And then he put their mind in it. And I did like the teasing of, we don't know what happens if you put the wrong mind into the right body, the different mind in the different body, and what's going to happen. And that hasn't been done before. We're like, yay, way to tease Hickman. I liked that. I can't wait for that.
We're going to do that eventually.
And Jean Grey in Wolverine's body.
Yeah.
I know.
I still like the fact that they use Krakoa. How do you say it? How do you say that island?
I don't know. Krakoa seems one of those fine to me. You keep saying I don't think that's right, but I have no idea. Krakoa sounds fine to me. You notice I hadn't said it until then. I'm like, that's good. Whatever.
Who else? Oh, I'm trying to just think of the other characters that aren't really used a bunch. Oh, Cypher from the Newmans, who was one of my favorite characters growing up that gets mm-hmm. killed in the Newmans. The one, the mutant power is that he can understand any language, computer, written, spoken. Extraterrestrial, doesn't matter. That's his mutant power. So him and Krakoa can communicate, and they develop their own mutant language.
Yeah.
Then Charles
implants into everyone that comes there, so they have their own language.
And only mutants are allowed on the island. And I forget how it's only through some kind of teleportation or gates.
It's a seed. It's a seed.
From the island.
From the island, and it grows, mm-hmm. and then they come in.
Like the Lost Island from the show Lost? Is it the same island?
Yes, it's the same island. It's Land of
it's
the
Krakoa.
Lost.
It's Krakoa. No, the show Lost.
Oh, I've never seen the show Lost.
I know. You should. It was good.
No, I shouldn't. And I mean, it might be, but I shouldn't see it.
Well, the first few seasons.
There you go.
I mean, see, I by season that. 7, though, that's when it really took off.
Okay, I'll just watch season 7 then.
I think that was you're fine. You just started season 7. You'll totally jump. You can jump on anywhere on that show.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I've
totally
heard it's
fine.
Notoriously easy to get into if you.
Yes, anywhere jump even during the middle of an episode. Like just pick a random episode in the middle of any season. You're fine. Okay, now I'm getting goofy, and it's not even. It's 9:30 almost, Charles. Holy crap!
I'm sorry, you're old, Huff.
Yeah, me too. Kind of blows sometimes. What else? Anything else, sir?
No. No, I guess we've done enough. Hav is pretty much off of social media completely. He has sworn off.
I'm on the blue sky?
No,
Oh, what do you mean?
Just can't let me get into any kind of bit.
Sorry. I'm all excited because we're doing a podcast. Go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, yeah, no, we both migrated over to Blue Sky. I haven't even been on Twitter for like 2 days, which I think is the longest I've been without being on Twitter since I really started using Twitter. And so we're both on Blue Sky. If anybody has it, anybody can join it now. It's a Twitter. It's old
it's
Twitter. It's very similar to what Twitter was.
But without the Jade Diamond, whatever weirdo South African Elon Musk running it.
Yeah, the Emerald Air.
There you go. Emerald, whatever.
Yes, so I am...
He was a white supremacist.
I am on there. I am at Herring Red, whatever. If you look up Herring Red, it's not Herring Red Real. I actually got Herring Red this time. And Hav is...
Hav Gonzo.
Hav Gonzo. See, we both changed. We both got what we want on the new one. So
well, because we were both... invited somehow before it went public because we're special.
Well, yeah, everybody that was the everybody that had put in their invitation got invited. We'd been waiting. They were like, okay, we got to let these people on before we open it up to the complete public. Because about 3 weeks after we all got on, that's when they were like, or maybe a month at the most. Yeah, but there was like, okay, these people have been waiting long enough. We've given out all the things. Because I had Blue Sky invites that I never gave to anybody. And then they're like,
me too. I had five. And I was like, oh, I never gave them out because I didn't know. I didn't even think about it. And then I looked. And I was like, oh. So yeah, man. Hey. We're back, baby.
We are
back,
but we have to do something else. We have to talk about what we're going to read for the next podcast.
I thought you were going to say we need to check on the children because there's somebody. The call's coming from inside the house. I'm all jacked up on podcast juice now. I'm all excited that we're doing the podcast.
I'm glad you're bringing the energy now that we're done.
Hey, I brought the energy from the beginning.
I know you did. I'm just.
How dare you attack me, sir? How dare you?
So what would you like us to read for the next pod?
I was going to give some previews to the faithful listener and yourself. I will suggest a few things down the road this season that I've been kind of sitting on, if you will. Just a couple of them I think you're really going to like. The ones I'm going to suggest down the road, not for next time. Fantastic Four Visionaries Volume 1, John Byrne.
Okay.
That's not for next time. Godland, I'm eventually going to suggest for sure. Gail Simone's Secret Six.
Nice.
I'm going to eventually suggest, but for next time. And I would venture to guess you have never read this. So I've already got the next three planned out after this. Sandman Mystery Theater, Volume 1.
Sandman Mystery Theater Volume 1?
Yep.
Okay. Is that not just Sandman or is that...
No, it's a totally different thing. It's on the Hoopla.
Okay.
Sandman Mystery Theater Book 1. It is a rather long one, but I think it's... I'm going to give you a little preview. It is superhero mixed with crime noir. I think you're going to... I'm knock on wood. We'll see. I hope you dig it.
Okay. I hope I dig it as well. You'll have to send me a picture of it because it didn't pop up when I...
Well...
Search it, but that's fine.
Borrow it right now, but well, I will borrow it and send you a screenshot.
Yeah. So the or just send it to me because you can share. We've learned that. I am going to suggest something I literally saw today and started reading it, and I have not finished it. I'm enjoying it, and I kind of mentioned something that kind of teased it before when I said I liked the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah.
This is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The Last Ronin is what it's called. It came out in 2022, and it was a recommendation on Hoopla of things I might want to read. So, and some of them, you got to understand, some of it, they're hit or miss on things I might want to read since I read a bunch of the stuff that we read so much on there, and it's things you suggest that I didn't like. So,
just kidding. Not help yourself. Taking
no, I can't.
Chance.
I can't. So it's... Who is the last Ronin? In a future battle-ravaged New York City, a lone surviving turtle embarks on a seemingly hopeless mission seeking justice for the family he lost.
Oh, that sounds dark.
Oh, I'm fairly deep into the first issue, and I was enjoying the hell out of it. I had to get up and do some stuff, but I finished reading this thing.
Powers of X, House of X.
That thing.
You can't even... Let the word, the title escape your lips. You hate it so much. You just it tasks you.
It did. It was like a fucking chore reading.
Dang.
It was a chore.
Gosh, for gosh, dog.
It was a chore. It was horrible. Yeah, no. So so when did your one you suggested come out?
Well, I wish I could tell you that.
Okay.
The original series came out in 1993.
Why are you being weird on how you say dates right now?
Because I'm all goofed up on the podcast.
No, but I mean,
you're just
being weird.
I swear I'm not on. I'm really excited.
I mean, about you're sitting doing there. The pod. I mean, you're as far as I can tell, you're naked, and you're being weird.
Gosh, darn it.
Don't stand up to confirm.
I am wearing a very smart polo.
He really
red
is.
Polo, ladies and gentlemen. I am not knickers.
Well, at least I will confirm that he's wearing a shirt or two shirts.
I'm not.
Because he's got an undershirt.
I'm not Donald Ducking it. I swear to God.
I believe you. Please do not confirm.
Okay. All right. Ha 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 ha. You're so funny. We've never done this bit before.
Well, we've done this bit a lot.
Yeah. Well, hey, I don't. I'll have you know I do not repeat bits. I do not go back to the well ever, Every time I make a joke, it's never been done before. I don't steal jokes. I don't repeat jokes I've told before. It's just not in my nature, Charles. I'm better than that. You should see the look. That is good. That was a good, like, what you talking about, Willis, look. I mean, that was a really good, like, come on, dude. How can you say that with a straight face? You're just like, come on, man. I laid it on a little bit thick there, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome. I'll be here all week.
You will beat.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Beat a joke to death. All right. Oh, my
God. I will go back to that well, and then I will dig under and around the well. I will eat the dirt and try to suck water out of the dirt from the well.
You're done.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm done.
So, ladies
I'm done,
and gentlemen, man. I'm okay. very, 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 very excited that we are back. I'm looking forward to doing this season. Like I said, at some point we will do that Spider-Man, Spider-Verse podcast, we promise you. We might do what movie is coming out this summer? Oh my God, Deadpool and Wolverine is coming out this summer.
Oh, that's the summer. Well, I was going to say, we had talked about doing a special kind of, I don't know if it was about Marvels, the Marvels with Caesar.
We could try to get Caesar.
Or just like maybe a catch-all, like, hey, there's been a fair amount of live action, TV, animated stuff to talk about that maybe not all of us have seen, but some of it we've all seen.
We may try to have some fun this season instead of what we've done the last three seasons, which are, we understand, no fun. But this season,
yeah,
fun.
Was terrible.
Just
well,
fun.
You said there could be no joking. It was kind of weird.
Yes, because I am known for my just stoic, non-comedic demeanor that everything I take uber seriously. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Really, this is why I judge your joking so harshly. That's why I judge your joking so harshly.
Yes. Hey, but seriously, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you to Charles for, like I say, every time doing all the heavy lifting, producing, editing, and then, you know, actually doing the podcast with me and having the idea to do the podcast. I've been thoroughly looking forward to starting the fourth season. So here we go.
Thank you all very much. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.